I'm with Harant Oskareko, One Whiskey Hotel Charlie, and I'm talking to Glenn Johnson, Whiskey Zero Golf Juliet, co-expedition leader of the forthcoming KP5 Desecheo expedition. Glenn, you just returned from the island. What was the purpose of your trip there?
The purpose of our trip was to go with the Fish and Wildlife Service personnel and to sweep the area that has been assigned to us for unexploded ordnance. Six of us gathered in Puerto Rico on December 17th, and on our night of our arrival, we met with the Puerto Rico Amateur Radio League and had a very enjoyable dinner. And then the next day, we traveled down to the very southwest corner of Puerto Rico and met with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife people. And then the next morning, very early, well before dawn, we sailed in a boat, and it took us about 2.5 hours to get to Desecheo, and we spent about 3 hours on the island, and we had some military unexploded ordnance technicians with us, and we carefully swept our landing site and the areas where we had been assigned to operate for unexploded ordnance. We found many pieces of shrapnel from exploded bombs before, and we located six very potential unexploded bombs in the area of our operation, and they've been carefully flagged and marked. And so the purpose was twofold. Number one, to mark the areas of the unexploded ordnance, and number two, to do some reconnaissance planning for our antennas and campsite. And this was a very unique and rare opportunity, because not too often on a very rare and most wanted DXCC entity do you get a chance to do this. And as a consequence, we've planned our antennas out, and we have access to a ridge above the helipad on the west side of the island that gives us a clear, unobstructed view to about 60 degrees on the compass. In other words, Europe and the Middle East is completely within view, not obstructed by any mountain or anything else. And our antennas will be at some places about 200 feet above sea level, so we should have some really good, excellent antennas and propagation paths to Europe. All we need are some sunspots to go along with it.
Who will be on the ticket?
We are going to announce who the members are prior to leaving, but not at this point are we ready to... our team is all intact. I mean, everybody is ready, but we're going to wait to announce several things till just before the operation. And a lot of it has to do with security. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is going to have a minimum of 2 and most likely 4 security officers with us at all times. So there are some security issues about this operation. So, you know, right now, I can't tell you who all is going, but it's a well-known team of seasoned expeditioners.
But you could tell us a little bit more about the equipment, the antenna used, the modes we are going to use?
We're going to be on all modes. We have 9 stations planned. We have actually a preliminary operation schedule already programmed for the different bands and things, but we have 9 stations. We have a full assortment of multiple antennas. We have a 160-meter vertical that's top-loaded. It's about 35 meters tall, maybe 30 meters tall, that's top-loaded, and it will be right on the saltwater beach. And then along the beach, we'll have several SVDAs, that's switchable vertical dipole arrays. And when they're right at seawater level, they are incredible antennas. They're all monoband antennas. Up on the ridge, the highest point on the ridge, we're going to have an 80-meter full-size vertical with elevated radials. We will have some phased verticals for 40 meters, 30-meter four-square. We'll have some monoband Yagis. We'll have some multiband Yagis. We'll have some stepper verticals, some other monoband antennas and verticals, so we'll have a full antenna assortment.
So you're ready for the full assault. What about your split policy?
Our goal is to be, because our time is limited, we'll be there for 2 weeks from February 12th until the 26th. It sounds like 14 days of operation, but there'll be at least one day of setup and a day to take down. And the last day, I know Fish and Wildlife is looking for us to leave at least by midday, so that's not going to be a full day either. So we're going to make the most of our time, and we're going to approach this like a military assault. Our first trip in is going to have a station, and we're going to hopefully within an hour or two have at least one station on the air while everyone else is working. And we have teams assigned for antennas. Our first priority is to get all of our antennas up as fast as we can and then work on our camp. So even in darkness, we can have some lights from our generators to set up our camp. So we'll try and get all of our antennas on up as quickly as we possibly can. And with being on multiple bands at once, we should be able to spread out the pileups to different bands. And we're really going to try and work on keeping our listening frequencies as narrow as we can without getting too wide and too spread out, because I know from both ends it's frustrating to have a wide split. I think most of our team is fairly fast operators, and if we can keep the pileup whittled down by quickly working, we can keep our split at a minimum.
Will there be an online log?
We took some 2-meter equipment with us on December 19th, and we were able to get into the repeaters in Puerto Rico full quieting. And we have done some microwave propagation analysis, and we should have a solid microwave link back to southern Puerto Rico. The helipad is just around the corner from true line of sight, and if we can get an antenna up a little ways, we should have a high-gain antenna, we should have a solid link to the Internet. So we should have a webcam operational as well as live log updates. Maybe not instantaneous, but at least we'll have lookup available if we can keep our Internet link up.
Glenn, you're an experienced expeditioner, but how is it? Are you a bit nervous or anxious so close ahead of the expedition?
Well, Wolf, I've been working on an operations manual that I've put together that's very complete. It covers every conceivable aspect of from health and welfare to the earthquake history. In fact, last week, there's actually a seismograph on Desecheo, and within the last week, there were 44 earthquakes. Most of them were very small, none more than magnitude 3. But after studying Desecheo and the maps, when we were there on December 19th, it was like almost going home because we knew it so well. But I think we've been studying it so carefully that at least for those of us that have been there now, it's going to be like going home. And, you know, we know it's going to be hot. It's going to be a lot of work. And when I've been on these de-expeditions before, you're working a minimum of 18-plus hours a day, usually 20 hours, and rarely there's many days where you don't get more than 4 hours of sleep just because of the operation schedule and the camp chores and things. So the time actually goes very, very fast because you're so busy. So I think most of us are looking forward to this, and our area has been, you know, cleared of the unexploded ordnance, so you know, we don't have any worries from that. Our only problem might be some illegal aliens trying to land or set foot, but we'll have our security personnel with us. The only other thing I would add is that at our website, www.kp5.us, we have some pictures from our trip a couple weeks ago, and that's our up-to-date news.
Okay, so John, all we can do for the time being is thank you for all the efforts, wish you the best of luck, and we are looking forward to talking to you again right there from the island. I'm Oscar Echo 1, Whiskey Hotel Charlie, and I was talking to Glenn Johnson, the Whiskey Sierra Golf Juliet.
Thank you very much, Wolf, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.